93.3 WMMR trains are cool. At the home of rock and roll. And Peru Review is with us in the studio. Their final performance tonight will be at the Chestnut Cabaret, 38th and Chestnut. Be there, I suggest, with bells on to have a fine time with the band. How you doing, boys? How's everything?
Yay, much better!
Okay!
This is like morning time.
Yeah. I know.
Oh?
Like, yeah, I know. I know it's morning.
You know, I understand tonight that we're going to have a little best of video presentation on the screens of the cabaret. Right. Is that right, Steve?
You've, that's correct.
Steve, come over here and say hello. You've assembled a little. Steve has been taking pictures for your band for how many years?
Five.
A thousand?
Five.
Millions.
Millions. Of years. Probably longer than anyone's ever taken pictures.
And you. And he's the best in the world, too.
Oh, absolutely.
He is.
I had a head start
for one more day.
Now, you are going to be out there tonight, and you have assembled a sort of best of video collection of this band. Is that right?
That's correct.
Thank you, Steve. He's a talkative guy, so isn't he?
He's a techie dude. It's not liberal arts. Yeah.
Okay. And I think we should point out here that Pierre actually is talking to Steve. Steve has the camera on Pierre, but we're on the radio. It's like very, very like...
We're simulcasting.
Maybe the people will be lucky enough to see this video tonight. Believe me, this will be well worth it.
Wow. We should put this video on there tonight. Can we do that, Steve?
Oh, no problem.
Okay, Steve says no problem.
That's right. Peru Television.
Peru TV.
Front of technology.
Well, we have had some wild adventures, which I think will be chronicled on some of this tape tonight for those of you attending the show. I was thinking back where I first met you guys was the lovely E Street Cafe in Upper Darby,
yeah.
And you had been together about maybe a year or so at that time, is that right?
Just about, yeah. Yeah, that was the, Hawaiian Day, was it, if I remember correctly. We wore Hawaiian shirts and I dare say before it became in vogue. but it was, this was back when we were not searching for, you know, grabbing at straws, cheap promotions, but it was the anniversary of Hawaii's independence or whatever it was.
Any reason.
Yeah, I looked on the counter. There's a celebration, you know. So we grabbed some Hawaiian shirts and then.
Four Hawaiian shirts to be exact,
yeah, right.
On the way to the gig.
Well, you know.
Oh, here's an aloha.
I'll
give you $5.
So,
and you guys used to have this beat-up old truck that said Brew Review. You remember the truck?
Toto.
What was it called? Toto.
Well, we used to move the equipment in Toto.
And used to move it in Toto.
Did you ever get any tickets in that truck?
No, but I got stopped a number of times. In fact, there was one that we were going up to John and Peter's. And I mean, there's no lights on. The wheels are falling off. There's holes in the back. There's nothing legal about this truck. And a guy pulls it.
Including the driver at the time.
But this was actually a number of times this happened. I don't know why. God blesses us. So the policeman comes up like a Nazi, you know, with his boots on the whole bit. And goes,
right.
What's going on here? Well, officer, I'm just getting it together. Okay, proceed. Okay, yeah.
And I also remember I started almost about the same time. I got my overnight slot about the same time you guys were starting your rise. And my first weekly gig was the E Street Cafe. Yeah, we sort of began our crap adventures together. And I remember that place at the E Street Cafe, they always used to break the sound rules. And as a result, you guys were all arrested and taken to the beautiful Upper Darby jail cells one night.
I still want to thank Jerry publicly for insisting on cuffs. Unbelievable.
Jerry Healy insisted that you be handcuffed, right?
I'm not going if you don't handcuff me. With that, the guy starts grabbing people, throwing them against the wall, throwing cuffs on. I'm like, wait a minute.
My uncle was a cop. Thanks,
Tom's uncle. Hey.
Your uncle is a cop, Tom?
He was one of the cops that locked us up.
You're kidding.
No leniency. God.
So he knew you?
Yeah, he was
kicked
like,
him in the butt.
I said, yo, Uncle John. Yeah, he kicked me, kicked me in the ass.
Yeah, we were like hardened criminals by the time we got Upper Darby, rough town.
Well, that was just the beginning. Oh, right, and those were the days of the makeup, so you have these...
Bob and Rouge.
A little,
Bob has big red gashes under his eyes from the makeup that he used to wear.
Your Honor, please.
Yeah, right. Well, Your Honor, I'll tell you what, all right, get him out of here. Get the Mardi Gras dude out of here.
Peru Review is with us in the studio. We have to pause for a couple of messages. We're going to come back and play some more of their music, so do not leave your radio.
The USMR,
we're here with Peru Review. Their final evening is tonight at the Chestnut Cabaret. Buzz, come back here. Buzz, he went in the other room. Buzz, could you please step back in there? I have something I need to have you play and hear. Buzz, please come back to the studio. Well, this is
this is official stuff. I'm learning a lot here.
We have this little intercom here, and he can roll back and forth. We have just a little song that I want to play, which came. This may have been the first time it was played over the radio, and Buzz was involved in playing it. In fact, and this was from our Cabs to the Cabaret series, which we'll explain right after we play this song.
I never heard one.
This is a new song that we did just last week. I think you're going to like it. This is entitled A Little Bit of Fun. Shall we?
One, two, three, four.
Tight.
Unbelievable. Yeah, to quote Charlie Kendall, tight.
Tight. Very tight. Very tight. Buzz, I had to play that. Because.
Thank you, Pierre. That was heartwarming.
It was heartwarming.
You wrote that song, didn't you, Buzz?
You wrote Stairway to Heaven, too, didn't you, Buzz?
I had a hand in it.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay. Well, Baru Review was with us, and you know, some of the fun times that we've had, I've had such of the greatest times. I was thinking about seeing you at so many different clubs, but one of the funnest times we ever had was the Cabs of the Cabaret.
Unbelievable.
And
yeah.
You still are in the Guinness Book of World Records, unofficially, for being the only band that played all four cabarets
in
one night.
There aren't four now,
are there? Are not four.
So it's unattainable at this point.
Tell us about how that came about.
Well, it's another drunken promotion. sitting around and say, you know, well, yeah, we can play two clubs the same night. Now we'll make it three, four. And it was a benefit for Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And what we did is we took cabs from each club. We started in Westchester, then went to Ambler, and then went to 23 East and did it live.
We did a live show. Tiersen was doing a live series at that time from that club.
Yeah, and then the bottom fell out emotionally. We went down to the Chestnut, and it was definitely the Rolling Stones. Keith, different Keith, different Keith.
So and I was the host for all four shows, and we'd call into the radio each place that we went, and we hopped in two Checker. I mean, they weren't like the trashy cabs. They were cool A1 Checkers. You remember that? Yeah. I was riding with Johnny and you and Buzz, and Tommy, were you in with us? You were in with Greg and Jerry.
Yeah, me, Greg, and Jerry.
Over here, Greg.
I don't know where I was. I remember I was cold and had a mark and was under the weather.
I remember we got to the first club and you guys did a Waylon first set and you got off stage and said, this is going to be a little harder than I thought it was.
Right, yeah.
I'll imagine the concept of playing the same song.
Right into the mic there.
Four times. You usually play it once a night. Same songs. Four
right, and then you get up for it. But yeah, by the third time, the radio set, we were out of our minds. By the last one, I didn't know which way was up. I mean, it takes so much emotional wherewithal to come forth on, you know, to do a show. By the last one, we were spaghetti.
Toasties.
Unbelievable. Where are we? It was fun. I mean, I'd love to do it again.
Well,
I only have three cabarets, so it's not really a challenge.
Yeah, it's been done.
Yeah.
We did it. At WMMR, we're speaking with Baru Review, their final evening together. The end of an era, somewhat, is at the Chestnut Cabaret tonight. And I think I must ask you why you guys are breaking up. People are wanting to know, and people who have followed you for a long time, 7 years, it's been quite a while for a band to be together. What has caused you to go separate ways?
Well, it's interesting. It's sad, certainly. That would be, nothing lasts forever, I guess, is I have to... That's my introduction to what is what. In some ways, you know, we went through a number of changes in trying to get something that would be, I don't know, commercially acceptable. I mean, I felt that we always had a great success with the audience. We have a great relationship, not too unlike the Dead. I mean, the experience in the club or the concert was always more than us playing. We're not a video band. We're not a movie band. We don't just get up and jump up and down and just, they were good. And, I mean, it was always, it was important. The audience was it depends on when we're talking about, the fifth or sixth or seventh man in.
Always a part of the experience.
And recently what we've been doing, again, doing tapes, and we went out, the Hooters were nice enough to take us out and do a couple shows with them up in upstate New York, particularly West Point, which was wild. I mean, just imagine us in full rock regalia in the middle of the military academy. But it was a beautiful, beautiful concert. And we started getting a lot of reaction from the powers that be, the who's who of the rock industry. And I guess after some introspection, we had to decide whether we had the energy and that we were able to, in our own personal lives, commit to another, a further 5 years of, you know, going forth as Baru Review and, you know, our personal lives as such. We were unable to do that. So rather than replace members at this point or, you know, try to have it be some watered-down version of what it has been, you know, we decided this was a good time to, you know, go out winners, I guess, in an odd way.
Hmm. Okay, I'd like to ask you guys each one what you're going to be up to in the days ahead. John, you're going to move to Florida, right?
I'm moving to Orlando, Florida.
You got to speak a little closer to the microphone, my friend.
For, either Disney World or Sea World or most likely Burger World. I'll be down there.
So people who want to see you can go to Disney World and maybe you'll take them on.
Oh, yeah, and here's the gear. Right, so if you go to Disney World and you notice that Goofy's acting a little more goofy than Goofy. You might want to check under that nose, because that's Johnny Sack.
That's right. That's me.
Okay, and congratulations on your recent marriage, by the way,
Thank
John.
Thank you very much. Hi, Lore.
Hi, Lore. And Tom Pinto, drummer extraordinaire for this wild band. Your first band that you've ever played with is this band, coming from the little town of, wait, it begins with a Y, not Yardley.
Yaden.
Yaden, okay.
Good old Yaden. You know, I think we're just going to, you know, hang around.
Don't they party in
Yaden? Well, there they go. They're going to get the wise guy thing. It's endless after years. Yeah. I love what you're doing.
So you're looking for a band, right? If anyone wants a Tommy, give him a call. Our studio lines are open, and he's available.
I'm doing like this duo thing with a friend of mine I grew up with Yaden with. It's like
the saddest band the world has ever known.
Yeah, sad songs. His name's Robert DeCiccio. I grew up with him, you know.
We're
calling it Fellini, and
Fellini.
It's sad songs, so we're going to try to get, like, little cafe gigs.
Funeral gigs. No, you have to hear these songs,
I have inside dope on the street.
Yeah.
Tom is also doing a gig in the near future. I think it's October 1st.
With Ken Queter, right?
Ken Queter.
Uh-oh.
I've been hearing stories about the rehearsals already.
Yo, Kenny, I need my foot pedal for tonight, man. Bring it up.
Greg Davis, guitar player extraordinaire. What do you have planned to be doing?
Well,
you could play with anybody. You could go out anywhere.
Well, that would be great. That's what I would like to do. I'd like to do some assorted musical things. I'd like to do some studio stuff and just kind of be a free agent for a while. I'm not going to just go jump into some other band right now. And just play lots of different kinds of music and hopefully get out and see the rest of the country a little bit and just jam on, you know.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
So it was a group unanimous decision then to go your separate ways, and there's no... Sometimes people say, well, was there animosity or was there this or that? I mean, I think you guys are...
I don't think, yeah, I mean, does it seem so?
No, it certainly doesn't. It's a very family-oriented band and always has been. And we don't want to clear that up so people say, well, was it this or was it that?
No, there's no one. If anything, it was the advent of seeming success. We backed up. Holy mackerel.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Well, you know, it's amazing how many places you guys have played. We've seen you in little clubs like Bigelow's. Remember Bigelow's on South Street? We did the Pass the Hat night. One night I went to see them. And Bob takes off his top hat and he has all the songs in the set in. And he passes it out.
The Dada set. Yeah, that worked out well. He picked the closing numbers, the opening one. Okay. So much for Dada. And let's do it again.
Right. It was great, though.
They're
passing the hat around, and people say...
You did actually say, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, right. The opening one, after I laid down all these rules, I was like, no, the rules don't work.
And then you've gone from there to the Spectrum. You guys opened for Culture Club at the Spectrum, which
people
was a real thrill.
People to this day ask me, but how was the Spectrum? What do you mean, how was the Spectrum? It was wonderful. Like, did you meet Boy George? Who cares?
Because we were right back in Bigelow's the next night.
Yeah.
Put things in perspective here.
So you went from the Spectrum to Bigelow's.
Ambler, and it was Live Aid or something.
Right.
It was Live Aid, and there we were watching the screens of Live Aid. Yeah, you're a big deal.
And recently, just in the last year, you played the Tower Theater.
Yeah, we got the Tower in, which was
opening
great.
For the Hoots. And then you went back
to West Point. I mean, we have to touch on West Point. And again, thanks to the Hooters. I mean, they really, we've been friends for years, but they really helped us out recently a lot in inviting us on that tour, the swing of the tour. And we, you know, played Slippery Rock and Shepherd's College. But the West Point gig, I mean, guys, serious military groove going on at West Point.
Cool.
Unbelievable. Tearing their clothes off, MPs coming down. Yeah. Unbelievable. It was great.
I got a song here that I'd like to play. This is not played so often. It's on the first record, and you're doing it these days in the set, and it's called Suicide Blues. Do you mind if I play that?
Not at all. In fact, Buzz and I wrote this. This is always one of my favorites.
And the version that you have of it now is just that you get Greg, you do the wildest, coolest riff ending of that. I love the way you do this song now. So will we hear this tonight?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, here it is.